All right, we're into Luke 23, 54. We're going to read through 24, 11. As we talk about the announcement of the resurrection to the women. The announcement of the resurrection to the women. Luke 23, 54 through 24, 12. And that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. And the women also, which came with him from Galilee, followed after Joseph and Nicodemus, who took the body off the cross. And the women beheld the sepulchre and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them, and they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And that's when the Hallelujah chorus expressed their joy. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid, they bowed down their faces to the earth. They said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified. But that's not the end of it, for they say, And the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11, and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, and Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. Oh, how the apostles rejoiced, no? And their words seemed to them as idle tales. And they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. Now Jesus Christ was crucified on the day before the Sabbath, and he died on the cross just hours before its beginning. We are told in this passage that this was the day of preparation, the day in which Jews prepared for the coming Sabbath. It was a busy day because the life of an observant Jew revolved around the seventh day of the week that was set apart by God Himself. This had been their tradition since the Exodus, when God Himself set apart that day for rest. And they set money aside during the week to purchase that which was needed for the Sabbath on the day of preparation. They made no journey without adequate preparation as to where they would stay on the Sabbath. And in many homes, preparation for the Sabbath began even on Thursday night and continued well into Friday. Now, I remember when we were growing up, Saturday was bath night. Nowadays, if you don't take a bath or a shower every day, you're thought of as some sort of alien. But when I was growing up, we took baths on Saturday evening. My mom would heat the water in one of those oval boilers. And we had a kerosene stove in the kitchen, a little kerosene container on the back. Always smelled like kerosene in the kitchen. And you'd put that boiler across two or three burners and you'd boil the water. We didn't have a hot water heater in the house. And then she'd take that boiler and pour it into the bathtub. We did have a bathtub. And then I was always the last to take the baths because I was the youngest. Boy, that water was ripe. But you know, I was mentioning things to be thankful for this morning, and running water and hot water, that's a wonderful thing to be thankful for in the morning. Don't you rejoice when you're able to clean yourself up? But that was the custom in the land for bathing to take place on Friday afternoon to honor the coming holy day. Weekday clothes were set aside and the Sabbath finery was brought out. They prepared all the food to be eaten on the Sabbath on Friday so that no work would be done on that day. And they had candles ready for the lighting because candles were an important part to light up the house in a special way on the Sabbath. The ladies set their table carefully, putting out their finest cloths, their dishes, and their cutlery in honor of the Sabbath. And all of these things were completed before the Sabbath so that no work was done on the actual day, for God had said, "In 6 days shalt thou labor, but on the seventh day thou shalt rest." You know, the body is the same body. We may not observe the Sabbath, but you still have the same body that the Jews had. And that old body needs some rest on one day of the week. A lot of times, we like to have 3 days of rest. But God set apart one day of rest. Now, the Sabbath began at dusk or at sundown. So it began during a different time throughout the year, but it was generally a 24-hour period from dusk to dusk, starting at different times during the year because of where the sun was. So the women who observed the placing of the body of Christ in the tomb had little time to do anything, but they did gain intelligence as to where and how the body was placed in the tomb. That was important. Joseph and Nicodemus were strangers to this little band, and the women then provided that link between Joseph and Nicodemus, who brought the body to the tomb, that link between them and the disciples who did not come to the place of burial, but were able to come later only because of the women's knowledge of where the body lay. They performed a great service. Now we learn from the Gospel of Mark that the women purchased sweet spices after dusk on Saturday when Sabbath had ended. It indicates in Luke that they purchased them before they went to do the Sabbath. But in Mark, it specifically says this, "And when the Sabbath," this is 16:1, "and when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. So the Sabbath had passed. They had been to the tomb to mark its location. They had observed Nicodemus and Joseph in preparing the body for entombment. They had gone to their own houses, made their preparations for the Sabbath, observed the Sabbath, and then at dusk on Saturday evening, they went out and they bought spices to bring the next morning. We learn of this effort in John 19:39. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100-pound weight. That was probably very expensive. Then they took the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes or cloths with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Somewhat of an embalming, an external. I don't know if you wouldn't call it embalming, that's internal, but somewhat of a preservation and also a method of keeping the corruption down. Now, in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden, a new sepulcher wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulcher was nigh at hand. So the sepulcher was close to Calvary. It was in a garden. Now you can go to Israel and they'll show you where they think that was. We don't know exactly. But this is the description of what took place in the tomb by Joseph and Nicodemus. Now, why this work of Joseph and Nicodemus was not satisfactory to the women, I do not know. We're told that Nicodemus and Joseph brought 100 pounds of spices, but these good women, it appears, did not think that was enough, or perhaps they did not think that it was adequately applied. Now, we know from Scripture that the men didn't have a lot of time to do this. They were very rushed. Christ died at 3:00. The Sabbath began at dusk. In April, that would probably be in our time, maybe 6:30. 3.5 hours to do all of this. And I'm sure that they were rushed because of the oncoming Sabbath. And the women perhaps wanted to do a more meticulous job after the Sabbath had passed. You know, there's nothing like a woman's touch. Men do some things in the home and the woman comes along and fixes it up. Any men with that kind of experience?
Hear those three little words. Not good enough.
Not good enough. You know, if my wife didn't do for me what I have come to expect, I guess I would go get all my dainties out of a basket. I'd go through there and find that what I need and put it on. But, I just delight. That's another thing I'm thankful for, that things are in place for me, nice and folded and reachable and orderly. So there's no such thing better than a woman's touch. And I kind of sense that this was what was taking place here. They observed Joseph and Nicodemus' body-wrapping skills, and perhaps they came up with not good enough. But you know, the bottom line here is that both parties, that of the men and that of the women, they stepped up. And they showed the proper respect for the body of one who had died. You know, as in anything that men and women do, we can go to extremes in the matter of funerals. We can become wasteful. We can overspend because perhaps we're trying to impress others. But the reality of life is that we do show our love and care for another when we tend to their burial in the proper way. And we see in this passage that Joseph, Nicodemus, and the women showed their love for Christ by their care for his body when he died. And I think as Christians, this is a wonderful example to us as we are faced with the care of loved ones who pass from life. Shows us how careful we ought to be about these serious matters. That people that we love deserve to be cared for, their bodies deserve to be cared for. But there was not only care shown for Christ's body, but there was courage shown by these men and these women who defied the pressures of the religious authority. My, how it's hard to think outside the box of the mind. You know, if you're locked into religion, your mind is locked. It's so hard to, unless the light of the Word of God opens up that mind, you're just locked into it. And somehow these folks had minds that were opened by the light of the Word of God. And they stepped out and identified themselves with Jesus Christ, this one who had been crucified with common criminals, this one who had been feared by the religious authorities who said, we're going to lose our place if we let this man live. So we're given here an example of faith. For faith in Christ requires an identification with Christ. You know, we don't wear badges that say, I love Christ, but our life ought to be a badge that says, I love Christ. And these men and these women identified themselves with Jesus in his death. They parted company from those that they beforehand companied with. They separated themselves from those who thought that Jesus was worthy of death. And by their actions, they chose to stand with our Lord Jesus. And whenever you stand with the Lord Jesus Christ, by that stand, you separate yourselves from the world that has rejected Jesus and stand instead with him. You know, you're separated from, but you're also separated unto. If you're separated unto Jesus Christ, you're separated from the world. Those two go together. And this is what brings salvation. For men and women who would be saved from their sins are called to stand separate from a world that has rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see here in this passage, men and women who are a picture of what faith requires of those who would be saved, a separated person. But you know, they did indeed have faith. But we also see that their faith was not complete. Is your faith complete? Do you have complete faith? Well, they didn't have complete faith either. And as long as we're in this body, we won't either. But hopefully we're growing. You know, that's what we ought to remember when we relate to each other, the body of Christ. That some of us have faith, and some have more faith, and some have much more faith. But we're growing in the Lord, are we not? So they didn't have complete faith, as was evidenced by some questions that the angels asked. Remember, they entered the tomb and they found no body there, but they found two angels who asked them what they were doing there. Perhaps they said, "What's in your hand? Why do you bring spices for the anointing of the dead?" We read that in verse 1. "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them." There were more women than just the three mentioned. "And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre." Now, that was a concern of the women, as expressed by Mark in 16:3, because as they were going to the place where Jesus was buried, they wondered how they were going to take care of the stone. But you know, they went even with this concern. You know, I think that the Lord likes that spirit in His children. It is the spirit of putting your foot in the water, knowing that God can part the water. You know, if God tells us to do something, we don't have to have all the I's dotted and the T's crossed and all the preparations made and wondering if this is going to be in place and this is going to be in place. If God tells us to do something, like putting our foot in the water, we can expect Him to part the water. And they had that spirit. They concerned themselves with it, but when they came, they found the tomb was open. And upon entering, they found that the body was gone. So God had not only provided for their entry, but He also provided for interior lighting. They didn't have to flip the switch. All they had to do was observe the angels who appeared, we're told, in very bright clothing. Luke says, bright as lightning. Have you ever looked at lightning? My, that's bright. And it was evident that the body was gone and that the grave clothes were arranged in an orderly manner. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, that's the ladies, they, that's the two angels, said unto them, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but He is risen. Remember how He spake unto you when He was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again." Now we see here that the women were awestruck. We would be awestruck also. How bright that light was, how empty the tomb was, and they bowed their heads, their faces to the ground. They couldn't look at the angelic men. You know, if you go through Scripture, it seems that whenever men or women meet angels, they never do the right thing. Have you ever met an angel? Well, I can almost say that when you meet an angel, you're not going to do the right thing. There always seems to be a rebuke or a caution from the angels. Remember the disciples who were questioned by angels as they watched Jesus, who was taken up in a cloud after he was finished instructing them? Remember that comment in Acts 1:11? Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? My goodness, angels, this is what an event this is, and yet they receive rebuke from the angels. Why are you wasting your time gazing? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. In other words, the message from the angels to the disciples was, get busy about God's work instead of gazing up to the sky. Like I told you, when you meet an angel, most likely you're going to get rebuked because you didn't do the right thing. So in our passage for today, we find a similar rebuke for what the women planned to do. Why are you coming to perform a duty which you would perform on the dead? Look around, there's no dead here. This is a new tomb, no bones. This tomb has never been used. So the angels explain to these ladies that Jesus' absence is because he had risen from the dead. And they took time to remind the women that this was exactly what Jesus had told them while he was alive, while he was with them back in Galilee. And then the phrase, they remembered then. They did remember his words. You know, if you ever receive rebuke from God, it will be for not believing his word. God is adamant about that. Believe my word. You know, it's impossible to please God without faith. What is faith? Well, faith is believing God's word and then acting upon it. So if you ever receive rebuke from God, it's because you didn't believe his word, and these women were rebuked for not believing Jesus' words. For on many occasions, he had told them of his rising on the third day. We've read that, haven't we? If they would have believed his words in Galilee, they would have come to the tomb empty-handed. They wouldn't have brought the spices. They would have come to the tomb to see the tomb empty. And they had no business there for the purpose of anointing a corpse, for there was no corpse. Now, they meant well. We would have done the same. No criticism on our part. We would operate probably no differently. But you can read of these words of Christ in Luke 9:22, where he told the disciples, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised the third day. That's specific. And Luke 18:31-34, then he took unto him the 12 and said unto them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles and shall be mocked and spitefully entreated and spit on. That's already happened, hasn't it, ladies? And they shall scourge him and put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again. And Matthew 17, 22 and 23, "And while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, The Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and the third day he shall be raised again. And they were exceeding sorry." We're told in other passages that they understood him not. We know that just a few days before this, Mary, the sister of Lazarus, had anointed Jesus in Jesus' words, "unto the day of my burial." So they understood that Jesus was to die. They had an understanding as to his death, but they couldn't grasp the resurrection, for all men die, but not all men rise. And for this failure to believe, the angels gently rebuked the women, and this rebuke caused them to remember his words. So they accepted at that point what he had told them in Galilee. You know how often we do what these women did? We know what God's word says, but we don't believe it in our actions. We rear our children in a way apart from God's word. And then when we and our children suffer because of our disobedience, we see that God's word was true all along, and that if we had obeyed it, we and our children wouldn't have suffered. You know, it takes things like that to get through that box of the mind. But you know, the bottom line is that they may not have paid attention to his words regarding his resurrection, but they were there at the tomb to honor their Lord. And because of that, they were given the opportunity to remember his words. You know, the disciples weren't given that opportunity. The disciples didn't share in this glorious moment. But the women hurried home to tell the men what they had learned, but their news was not met with rejoicing, for the men did not believe them. Ladies, do you have that problem with your men? Seems to be a load that women carry sometimes, where they're not listened to. But I think the message here is, men, you need to listen to your wives. Matthew tells us that the angels told them to hurry home and tell the disciples, and on their way home, they met the risen Lord. Another opportunity that the disciples did not share. We read of this in Matthew 28, 7 and 9. "And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead." See, they could have been there. "And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him." You know, it's interesting that Jesus did not disguise himself from their understanding. That wasn't the case with those two on the road to Emmaus and others. The men who didn't choose to go to the tomb did not see for themselves, and they didn't believe, and they accused the women of idle tales, and they believed them not. The women were given the glorious news. The women were given the glorious visit of the Christ, and yet the disciples, who didn't show their care and their love for the Savior like the women did, lost out on that great opportunity. You know, you ought to be where the Lord wants you to be, that's where the blessings are going to be found. That's where the glorious messages are going to be heard. It's like those that aren't here this morning. We've had a lesson about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ that some missed. And it's not right to be somewhere where you're not supposed to be, neglecting that place where you should be, according to the Lord's will. Father, thank you so much for the wonderful news of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, without the resurrection, we'd have no hope. We'd have a man that died on the cross and spoke these wonderful words, but there was no power behind them. But we know that we have power behind them because he is resurrected and he's living in the heavens with thee. And Father, we thank you so much for the hope that lieth within us, and that hope is because of this glorious resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Bless us now, Father, as we go to our service. May we partake in the bread of life, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.